This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
And here we go again. Welcome to today's episode of What the Puck. As you can probably already tell based on my voice being the one that you're listening to, or the fact that the show information that is posted when you downloaded this thing, this is going to be another solo show as Brandon is currently unavailable. So unfortunately, you all are stuck with me for this one. Now, I have to go meet family in a little bit, so let's get right into the past week in Caps hockey, where it was a short one this week. We only had two games between when Brandon and I talked last week. They went 2-0 with wins over Colorado and an ugly, but I'll take it, win over Montreal. And this is the first back-to-back road wins this season, which is rather interesting considering how this team has played. I mean, it took them forever to get back-to-back wins, and I believe it was last week when they had their first back-to-back wins with the wins over, I want to say Pittsburgh and somebody else, but that's probably wrong. But now they finally have back-to-back road wins. It seems to me they're starting to gel a little bit, which is a bit weird considering they've had a bunch of injuries. But guys are stepping up. If you look at someone like Lars Eller, who stepped up onto the first line, he did get moved onto the second line during the Montreal game when they were getting whooped. But they started to gel. They're starting to play a lot better. You're seeing that this team is coming together. And considering it's all these injuries, it's a bit interesting to watch in terms of how they're playing. I think we've seen this every year. I feel like even going back into the Bondra and Juneau and Jágr years, that this team always struggled to start the season. And I, you know, you're not really sure what the reason was. What was it that they were, or the reason for their struggles at the beginning of the season? But the reality is, this team always struggled out of the gate. And I've been saying, I feel like for the past couple weeks now, last year at this time, Brandon and I were talking about, or at least I was talking about, Brandon's probably fighting me on it, whether Barry Trotz was going to be the head coach of this team after Thanksgiving. And I brought it up a couple of weeks ago that was Todd Reirden going to be the head coach of this team after Thanksgiving, considering how they've been playing. But you've seen that they're starting to pick it up a bit. They still had these moments. If you watch the Montreal game, or if you did watch the Montreal game is how I should put that, and you saw how they were playing during that one, the second period, I don't want to say they checked out, because they literally were moving their feet, but the effort was not where it needed to be, and Montreal came out flying. And now this is a Montreal team that's, you know, it seems to be, at least that's what they're saying in the broadcast. I don't watch a lot of their games, except for when they're playing the Caps. They are a high-flying team. They can score a lot of goals quickly, and they did that with something like three goals within a matter of just a few minutes. And then the Caps were sort of shell-shocked for a moment there. That ended up causing Phoenix Copley to get pulled. I don't think that was entirely his fault. I think the guys definitely needed to step up around him. It's like when I talk about, I used to coach soccer, and if a goalie was upset because they let in a goal, unless it's one where like hit him in the hands and went in, that ball started in the middle of the field and had to go by 10 other players on your team, more or less, before it got to you and had the chance to stop it. So it's not, I don't always blame a goalie unless it's a situation where they should have made an easy save and they didn't. But I felt like the guys could have stepped up better in that game and helped out Copley. But what we saw from this team is that when Holtby came back, they settled in a bit. You know, whether they're just more comfortable with Holtby, which they likely are because he is a Vezina-winning goaltender. And he won the Stanley Cup last year. But they were able to come out and just really collect themselves and fight back in a way that we didn't really see a number of years ago. I think we used to see that when the high-flying Boudreau era, where they could score 7-8 goals a game, they just gave up 5 or 6 goals a game for the most part. So you're looking at a team that didn't get down on themselves, that they weren't like, well, screw it, we'll just, you know, sort of bag this one and we'll go on and get ready for the next game, that they were actually able to dig in and claw their way back. And it wasn't like they scored 2 goals back to back. They had to fight their way back. They got one, took some time, kept pushing, had a huge penalty. Was it Eller who took the double minor, I want to say? He had a 4-minute minor, or double minor. He was in the box, so they had to kill that off without giving up a goal. That really could have been the end if Montreal scored one there. That could have been the end of the game. They don't get any points, let alone both points. But then they were able to come out, tie the game up, and then win in overtime. Eller, of all people, which is pretty funny. If you're a Canadiens fan or you're in Montreal, you're probably a little upset about the fact that that happened. But you're looking at this team right now that is fighting back. I talked about injuries a few minutes ago. The show's not even on that long, so probably only a few minutes ago. But this team is still without Kuznetsov and Oshie. Kempe came back, like we talked last week, after he was sick. Orpik, it was announced that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks after undergoing knee surgery. And there's some questions as to why they didn't have the surgery earlier. I guess it's one of those things where you're just waiting to see if it can kind of heal on its own or if there's some other ways to do it without really having to go in and do some sort of knee surgery. But it looks like that didn't work. So they went in. He went under the knife. And he's going to be out another 4 to 6 weeks. And I feel like if this was last season, we'd be panicking a little bit more. But I feel like Madison Bowie has really stepped into that spot and done really well. He isn't playing necessarily like Orpik. You know, I don't think you would expect a kid to come in a second full season and be just like the veteran, obviously. But Bowie, I felt like he has done well. He's had some hit or misses. He's made some mistakes here and there. And you expect that from a young player like Madison Bowie. But I feel like he's really playing a lot better. He did take a penalty in that Montreal game where at first, and I think it was their, was it the tying? Their first goal, second goal? Could have been their third goal. Either way, Bowie took a penalty. But it was one of those ones where the puck got past him, and instead of letting the guy go in on a breakaway, he took what I guess you call a cynical foul or one that, you know, an intentional – intentional fouls, which aren't necessarily the best idea, but there it was an intentional foul to or a penalty to not see. I went back into soccer mode again. A penalty to not allow the guy to go in on a breakaway, and I get that. I get the understanding there. You know, it's kind of cheap in a way, but it's also the best thing for the team in that regard. You just have to hope that your PK is going to step up, which it hasn't been lately. But that your PK, of course, I just said they're doing well in that 4 minute minor. That your PK is going to step up and be able to stop them. It didn't end up being the case, but I do feel like Bowie is starting to come into his own here, and it's great to see because this team is not going to be able to rely on a guy like Orpik for another, you know, for next season and the season after that. And he had a long-term injury. Was it last season? He's got another long one. He's on long-term injury reserve for this season. That's not as big of a deal because his cap hit isn't as big as it used to be, not even close. But it's nice to see that a guy like Madison Bowie can step up and play when you need him to, and that you're not going with another journeyman AHL defenseman, no offense, like Aaron Ness, who you bring in, but he isn't quite as good. You've brought in a guy who likely, knock on wood, has a future with this organization or in the NHL in general. Now, the Caps have a number of young defensemen that they're, you know, could bring up at some point. They have Jonas Seguin-Thaler, who I believe is still with the team. And it was interesting. Isabel Kershutian, I believe, was the one who brought it up on Twitter. She's a Caps beat reporter in the Washington Post. She was talking about whether Seguin-Thaler, like how they're going to work him into the lineup because he's a young guy who needs to be playing. And having him sit up in the press box, yeah, it can be nice for him to learn from above every a game or so, but he also needs to be out on the ice playing as an opportunity to grow. And if you're, you know, you also want Bowie to do the same thing, are you going to have the opportunity for Bowie? Are you going to rotate them? Is it Bowie's opportunity more often than not, and then Seguin-Thaler will play every once in a while? So that'll be an interesting thing to watch going forward in terms of what Todd Reardon and his staff want to do. Now, Orpik's not the only one that is out. There's still no Kuznetsov, still no TJ Oshie. Neither one of these guys have played, or I believe neither one of them even skated since the game in Winnipeg where they were both injured. I would like to say that the Oshie injury is likely because my sister bought an Oshie jersey and then he happened to get hurt. So, you know, maybe it's just weird timing or there's sort of a connection there. I don't know. But either way, it's brought up an interesting point that I know a friend of the show, Ryan Drury, brought up. He was sending me a direct message on Twitter talking about the complete lack of consistency. And we were talking a little bit about it. The lack of consistency in the NHL and their disciplinary system. And if you look at the hit slash body slam that was on Oshie by, what was his name? Morrissey, or whatever his name is, on Winnipeg. It was very similar, not identical, I would say, but very similar to the hit slash body slam that was on, I can't remember who did it, but it was on Vancouver's Elias Pettersson. Yet the punishment was different. The gentleman who injured or had body slammed Pettersson, I believe, was suspended for 2 games, whereas the dude does the same thing, more or less, to Oshie, and he gets like an $8,000 and change fine. And if they're the same thing, I don't think it should matter if a player goes off injured or not. I don't think, which both, I think Pettersson missed a few games, I want to say. Oshie's still been out, or is still out, I should say. I don't think that should matter if a player gets injured or not. The reality is, everybody's different. Some players are built differently than others. If you go and you do a hard body check against Ovechkin and you do a hard body check against someone, Martin St. Louis, who isn't playing anymore, obviously, but he's a much smaller guy, the opportunity or the likelihood of St. Louis getting injured is more likely than, say, Ovechkin, just because Ovechkin's a bigger guy. So the reality is if someone gets hurt because of the hit, that shouldn't play a factor as to whether the hit, the disciplinary action is a suspension, a fine, whatever it is. There needs to be more consistency from the NHL, and I just don't know if we're ever going to see it. To some extent, it's hard because every play is different. What was the setup to the play? Did the player have the puck? Did he not have the puck? You know, obviously, if it's the same thing, but a guy has the puck and he gets an elbow to the side of the head, whereas the guy doesn't have the puck and gets an elbow to the side of the head, or he's played the puck and it's 5-6 seconds later he gets hit, the punishments would probably be more severe because obviously the player that caused the injury or the hit is going well out of their way to hit the other person. However, if they're very similar, there needs to be more consistency, and we're just not seeing that from the NHL right now. And something that I'm sure Caps fans, they're definitely upset about in regards to the Oshie one, Kuznetsov as well. There was a lot of questions as to why Malkin wasn't suspended or even fined for his play in the Caps-Pens game. There was the argument that he was more bracing for it and it was just contact. Sure, why not? I'm sure none of it is the fact that he's a star player, but whatever. So there's a lot of inconsistency there and confusion amongst fans, or more anger in terms of what it should be. But still no Kuznetsov, still no Oshie. The team is doing okay without them. They've shifted the lines up again. I'm going to go see if I can find those on Twitter real quick. I would kick over to Brandon here, but that's not really going to be possible considering this is a solo effort. Where's the lines? Per Isabel Kershooting again of the Washington Post. She's great. If you don't follow her on Twitter, you need to do that right now. Caps lines as of 5 hours ago were Ovechkin, Backstrom. They're reunited in the game against Montreal. They're up with Wilson, who they also mentioned is playing in his first home game since coming back, so I'm sure they'll get a nice reception. I wonder if Reardon starts him, if for no other reason than so he can get a loud cheer. I've noticed, at least when I've gone to games, I've been to one so far this season, which already matches my total from last season. He doesn't always start the top boys. You know, he's kind of starting the second or third line. He's going with more of a shutdown line to start the game. So the first line is Ovechkin, Backstrom, Wilson. Then you've got Vrana, Eller, and Connolly. Then you've got Burakovsky, Boyd, and DSP. And then Yashkin, Dowd, and Stevenson. So it's an interesting forward lineup. We'll see how they do. Who are they playing tonight? Chicago. We'll talk about that a little more later at the end of the show. Then defensively, you've got Kempney and Carlson, Orlov and Niskanen, and then Juice and Bowie. I don't see anything on here as to whether Holtby's starting, but I have to imagine he's going to get the start tonight. With there being back-to-back games upcoming this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised to see Copley get another one. I don't blame him necessarily for the ugly first half, I guess, of the second period in Montreal. It was just kind of an ugly effort overall by the boys, and they definitely should have helped him out more. What else do we need to talk about? That's pretty much covered almost everything already in about just under 15 minutes. That's not bad. What else is going on in Caps world? I can't think of anything at the moment. I wouldn't mind. You know what? We talked about this at the draft. They need to develop some young guys, some young forwards. But then again, you go and you look at the lineup and they're down Kuznetsov, who is their, 1A, 1B center with him and Backstrom. They're down Oshie, who is their 1A, 1B. I'd say he's more of a goal scorer than Wilson. He plays very physical for a guy who doesn't seem like he should. But when you're down those guys, it's nice to have some depth. But what you kind of see or what you like to see, I guess, to some extent, and maybe this is just sort of, it's funny, they were kind of talking about this on an Arsenal podcast that I listened to. The new signing in terms of soccer, the young guy is always kind of the more exciting thing. As a Redskins fans will know what I'm talking about, because they always want the backup quarterback to come in when the main guy is struggling. And this is not an Alex Smith thing. That injury looked terrible. But this is one of those opportunities where if you had a young guy in Hershey who you thought was a future, like a Vrana or Burakovsky back in those days, you'd have an opportunity to bring them up and give them a chance to show what they have at the NHL level. And the Caps just don't have that in any young forwards right now. Not that could go out there and you think could be a potential top six forward. I mean, Vrana was the last one, I believe, to come up that could potentially have been that guy. I mean, there was talk about Riley Barber at one point, but we haven't really seen that. Now, the team doesn't have necessarily a ton of cap space, and they have enough guys that they can sort of fill in right now, as we've seen with Yashkin's getting a jersey, Dowd, Boyd, they're all playing. So, but I can't think of anyone else that's potentially just sitting in the press box that is a forward that's not injured at the moment. So if one more person goes down, someone's getting a recall. That's pretty much all I have to say about that, because that would obviously be what they would have to do, because I'm going through the roster real quick, and yep, that's pretty much everybody. It looks like just the injured gentleman and Singenthaler will likely be sitting in the press box tonight, because everyone else is going to be playing. But you'd like to see this team at some point in the future have a young forward that they like to bring up that is potentially a top six forward in the future, because at some point, contracts are going to end, or guys are going to get older, and you're going to need to replace them. Or you're going to look at someone like Andrei Burakovsky and have to decide as to whether he is part of your future or not. But that is pretty much all we have to discuss regarding the Washington Capitals at the moment. Now, before we go anything, there is one last bit of news, as there is an online auction to win a Caps jersey that's been signed by the whole team. Now, this auction is raising money for youth mental health. All proceeds will go to the Wellness and Emotional Support for Youth Online, based out of Ontario. If you are interested in making a donation, send a direct message to the, and I apologize if I say your name wrong, the Mitons on Twitter, and they're at the Mitons. That's at T-H-E-M-I-G-H-T-O-N-S. I believe, when did Ryan send this to me? Yesterday, I want to say. Yesterday afternoon, and I believe the auction starts at, or the bidding starts at 500, but this is a, it looks like it's a, I want to say, it's a Reebok Caps jersey, a nice Reebok red home jersey signed by the entire team. All the signatures right are on the front, right surrounding Capitals. As usual with a celebrity or athlete signature, I don't know what any of them are unless there's a, oh, I see Travis Boyd's, but only because I recognize the number. But go ahead and check that out. Go on Twitter. Donate to a good cause. If you can't find those guys because I said their name wrong or I spelled it wrong, my bad. You can also find more information on this by talking with friend of the show, Ryan Drury, on Twitter, who is at CKNX_Drury. That's D-R-U-R-Y. Go ahead and check it out. It's for a great cause. Now, let's go ahead and check out what is going on with the affiliates by going down on the farm. Normally, there would be some sort of music and things happening right now, but I'm lazy and don't feel like doing all that editing, so we're just going to go ahead and check out the past week. In the past week, I should say, Hershey went 1-1 with a win over Cleveland. The Bears are currently on 17 points, which puts them 6th in the Atlantic Division with a record of 8-9-1. They are going to need to go on a bit of a winning streak, obviously, if they want to climb up the standings. Duh. Currently, they're 10 points off division leader Charlotte, though they're only 3 points back of third place Springfield. So a couple of key wins here and there, and they should be all right. They'll be back at it with back-to-back road games starting on Friday in Lehigh Valley and Saturday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Florida. They're currently on 16 points, which puts them 4th in the South Division with a record of 8-8. They'll be back at it tonight, that being Wednesday night in Orlando, and then again on Friday in Atlanta. That's what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL, where we will start in Edmonton. Again, I'm skipping over the audio parts because I'm lazy. We're going to start in Edmonton, where they fired head coach Todd McClellan and replaced him with who I thought was retired, in Ken Hitchcock. I saw that and was like, hold on, that dude's not coaching anymore. How's he coming back? Whatever. We're not even 2 months into this season, and McClellan is already the 4th head coach to be dismissed after John Stevens in L.A., Joel Quenneville in Chicago. I still don't know how to spell his last name. He got dismissed from Chicago. And Mike Yeo in St. Louis, who got fired on Monday. This comes after 0 head coaches were fired last season, and something tells me this won't be the end of it either. Also, I just want to put it out there. I said this to my wife. I'm calling it right freaking now. Pittsburgh's going to fire Mike RBF Sullivan. If you don't know RBF stands for, look it up because that dude has it. Okay. They're going to fire him and they're going to replace him with Joel Quenneville. You just know as a Caps fan, something like that's going to happen. I know there's a couple of reports about St. Louis might be looking at Quenneville, But you just know something's going to happen where Pittsburgh's going to fire Sullivan, bring in Joel Quenneville, and they're going to go ahead and win another freaking cup. Okay? Then again, I also kind of feel like Quenneville might just be kind of done coaching because he really seemed to be enjoying himself tailgating at the Bears game. Did anyone else see that on Twitter? Where he had this, like, it was like a stick or a I don't know what it was. Some long stick, and they had a bunch of shots on it, and he was part of it. And then I guess they lift at the same time, and everyone takes the shot at the same time. But, like, part of me feels like that dude, he's won his cups. He's, you know, one of the top, I think it was second most wins in the NHL or something like that, most coach games. Dude's earned his right to put his feet up. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of Pittsburgh, in a way, their forward, Matt Cullen, was fined $1,000 for his trip. Again, that seems like not very much in the wide scheme of things. In, like, real people world, that's a lot. But in hockey and sports, not very much. For his trip against Tampa Bay forward JT Miller. And finally, Arizona forward Josh Archibald was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Nashville forward, Ryan Hartman. That one was bad. I watched the video, and Archibald clearly, I don't think he was going for his head, but something might have been wrong with his vision because he was not going for the body. I'm sure in his head he was going, I'm going to hit him in the body. But in reality, he didn't. He hit him in the side of the head, and that's a big no-no. So he's going to sit out for 2 games. That's the news for the past week in the NHL, and somehow that's more or less the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Before we get out of here, let's go ahead and check in on the Caps and when they play again next. Now, they're going to start playing tonight, that being Wednesday, November 21st at 7 p.m. They're at Capital One Arena against Chicago. And ideally, I have this episode out to you before that game starts. If I don't, too bad. You can catch that game on NBC Sports Washington on Friday. They're at it once again at home against Detroit at 4 o'clock, which is weird, on NBC Sports Washington. I know it's like, it's, you know, everybody pretty much has a day off on Friday. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people have a day off on Friday. It's like a 4 o'clock game. Still weird. Whatever. That game's on NBC Sports Washington. Then they'll be at Madison Square Garden, take on the Rangers on Saturday at 2 p.m. on NBC Sports Washington. I feel like Copley gets the game against Detroit, and the Rangers are doing really well lately. I think they've won a bunch in a row, so Holtby plays in New York at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. Then the Caps, they'll go and take on Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders on the road at Barclays Center at 7 p.m. on Monday with that game on NBC Sports Plus Washington, or NBC Sports Washington Plus, or whatever it's called. All I know is I never know what the freaking number is for that channel. I can never find it. So, yeah, that's it for the show this week. Thank you for tuning in. If you have a free moment, can you do us a favor? Why don't you go and help us out? Give us a review on iTunes. It should only take you a minute or two, if that, and it really helps get the show up the charts. If you just want to give us a rating, that'd be great too. That should take you, what, 5-6 seconds? If you want to do a review and you got to think about it, maybe some grammar things come in, you got to work on it, that's fine. That'd be great. Helps us get the show up the charts, get more people to listen to, which would be fantastic. So if you have a moment, please go and do that. You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. Tell me how terrible this was. That's fine. I don't mind. I can just ignore it. You can find the show at What the Puck Pod on Twitter, and you can find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. You can also find the normal host of this show, my co-host, Brandon. You can find him on Twitter at BrandoCash and check out all of his other shows. Brando Cash Entertainment. He's got a show about the Ravens. Boo! Call the Call. Go ahead and check it out. If you like, if you've made that mistake in your life and you decided to like the Baltimore Ravens, or if you're from Baltimore, that's fine. Go ahead and do your thing. You know, go ahead and check that their show out at the Call. It's a great show about the unfortunate team up there in Baltimore. Yes, that's pretty much it for the show this week. That's it. I'm out of here. I'm gonna go figure out how to put this online. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.